Let's get going. So, my name's Scott Maddox. I lead business development for Gevo's data business. So, I'll be talking about how we leverage machine learning, how we use AI technologies, and how we apply that to metadata curation and enrichment, and what that means to your business. I've only got half an hour, which is great, plenty of time, but I'm going to talk fast because it's kind of a big topic, and I want to cover this right here. So, I'm going to start by talking about, at a really high level, just sort of set the stage in terms of definitions, right? Because there's AI is pinging the meter in terms of the buzz and excitement in Silicon Valley, when I was up in the Bay Area, and it's all the rage. And we do some of that, but I want to be clear about where Tevo fits in here and what it means to our view of the metadata business. So, what's happened, AI has been computer science, you know, challenge for 50 plus years, but over the past, say, 5 years or so, three things came together, right? Very large data sets started to emerge, and those are now packaged and sold. We generate and capture a tremendous amount of data that touches on hundreds of millions of consumers every day through Tevo platform technologies and solutions. So that's one piece of the puzzle. Cheap and plentiful CPU cycles. This isn't our business, but it's IBM's business, it's Microsoft's business, it's Google, and Amazon, of course, AWS solves that piece. What I'm going to do is a little deeper dive around that bottom circle here, and this is on machine learning. Machine learning is a subset of AI, in my view, and I'll talk about some of the core technologies within machine learning that we bring to bear on metadata curation and enrichment. So we really focus on sort of the left two circles there. And again, just for the official definition, AI is the capability of a machine to imitate intelligent human behavior. Wikipedia, so it must be true. I tend to hold close to that definition. I think AI is a term that gets bandied around a lot. We're not really doing that. And I'm going to leave the true heavy lifting of AI to some of our big potential partners like IBM, Amazon, Microsoft, etc. So, before I go into the machine learning thing, let me just sort of talk about some of the market changes that we've seen. So, let me do a quick show of hands. So, who in the room here thinks about content distribution on a regular basis? You got one, two, three, four, okay, maybe, looks like about half the room or so, right? I mean, you're all in the content business at some level. Content distribution is key, right? This is about getting the right programming, the right assets in front of the right audience. So I'm gonna use an example of a television network. The world used to be a beautiful and very simple place. On the left-hand side of the slide, if you were a television network, you basically created great programming, you thought about broadcasting that over the air, or you thought about distributing that through a cable or satellite operator. So your distribution channel is limited and very powerful, you know, very, very broad channels there. And then your audiences were also really nicely contained. They were watching televisions, and they were probably in their home, and living in a bedroom, in a sports bar. That was a beautiful, very powerful world. This is where Tevo made its fortunes. This is where Nielsen, you know, Graysnote, you know, all the cable operators built their businesses on this very simple model. So that still exists to a degree, but it's obviously changed dramatically, right? Let's fast forward a little bit. And I think the writing on the wall started to appear around between 2005, 2007. Three things happened. YouTube happened, Netflix offered a visual service, and the iPhone launched in 2007. So mobile, digital video, and Netflix or the OTT model started to take shape. And of course, there were two massive cohorts coming of age, millennials and then Gen Z cohort 12. That's half the world's population. So that started to change our world from the view of content producer. So now, you probably already recognize this sort of hub and spoke on the right. If you're a content, you do that same network, you know, broadcasting cable is still central in the firmament. Here come telcos. There are three or four flavors of video on demand, from ad-supported video on demand, or AVOD, it's been included here, but SVOD is subscription, TVOD is transactional, pay-as-you-go, PVOD is premium, so studios are starting to think about actually releasing, you know, movies earlier in the window on a premium basis. OTT, so obviously, here's Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, OTT is an exciting distribution channel, but another distribution channel. If you're that network, again, you're thinking about TV everywhere. You've got apps out there to reach your audiences. Traditional web publishers, web portals, you might be thinking about how to work with them. The bottom circle, I think of IP streamers. Those are Roku boxes. Those are Chromecast, Apple TV in Asia. Those are Xiaomi boxes. And then smart TVs themselves are capable of distributing and displaying your programming. You're thinking about social media. You're thinking about Facebook. And here comes Snapchat, right? Your audiences are interfacing with your content heavily through social media. YouTube still plays a role. You're not maybe not doing primary distribution through there, but you're seeding content to draw audiences in. And then game consoles also. So that's exciting, right? A lot of opportunities here, but it also gets a little messy. This is where the platforms themselves are the endpoints, right, outside this wheel, and there's a lot of fragmentation there. If you're a network, if you're thinking about advertising, that's your revenue stream, then you've got to think about all the formats represented around the outer ring of the circle. And the audiences, your viewers, are also really widely distributed at this point and kind of hard to reach. So I think what that does actually is kind of puts the content providers much closer to consumers in a lot of ways, right? On the left-hand side of that slide, you really don't have to worry about the consumer too much. Our world today, you're thinking a lot about that consumer. And I think metadata actually comes into play. We hear this from customers and partners all the time. They want more hands-on control over metadata because metadata is foundational to delivery in many ways. So just briefly, you know, what is TiVo today? You probably all remember the TiVo from 12, 15 years ago, the first DVR. Well, TiVo today is a different company. It's a much bigger company in a lot of ways. I like to use this example of a really simple user experience. I'm doing a voice search. I say, find that George Clooney movie. It's a sci-fi. I think he dies in the end. Boom. So simple voice interface. The results pop up in a beautiful next generation guide. Fan TV is one of our properties. It might be an older version, TV Guide. So we actually own and acquired TV Guide a number of years ago. So we have a big guide business. There's a search solution, search algorithm running behind the scenes to match my request against the result. And you might see recommendations. If you like this movie, you're going to like these other movies. That would be a touch point for TiVo. And then the metadata itself. We have a number of different types here. Images are critical to driving discovery and user experience. There's a lot of traditional metadata in the sense the factual metadata, writer, producer, director, runtime, season, episode, that's all there. And then there's distribution channels, so you can sort of see the OTT channels, right? Do I want to watch this? Do I want to buy a ticket through Target? Do I want to watch this on or buy it through Redbox or rent it through Redbox, et cetera? So that middle column starts to talk about purchase options. So all that metadata is what we think about. We do this, if we look at the middle bar here, we do this for video. That's film, television, and digital first. Digital first is a very important initiative and priority for us as we advance the business. Sports is an important category for us, and sports is kind of different, right? Because it's real time. So we have historical data around league, player, team, but it's also real time. We have play-by-play data. We have box scores. We have excitement metering. We're tapping social signal to tell you when you might be watching one game and there's another game that's getting really hot. We can direct you over there. So those are some of the exciting areas around sports. Music is an important category for us. And again, the description across the bottom, that's factual metadata, descriptive data, graph ties the relationships between those entities and those assets. Image data, trending and social signals are very important. And we sell and productize everything across the bottom here. It's also foundational to TiVo's other portfolio product and solutions. So the user experience we just saw, the set-top boxes, the guides, search and recommendations is a dedicated business group within TiVo, and then ads and ads and analytics team as well. So we saw what was sort of happening on the surface, right? In the previous example, a lot of the factual metadata shows up there, a lot of image metadata, so we think about poster art, but there's more to it than that. Just below the surface, you start recognizing, well, we need to know what formats are these things in. What are the distribution channels that are available on? Will it play on mobile? Will it play on a web browser? Will it play on a smart TV? I touched on some of the social attributes, so popularity scores. Is it trendy? What studio or network produced that metadata? So those are the things that we capture and normalize. There's the an entertainment graph I talked about. We use the term entertainment graph, knowledge graph. It's relating all of these assets. And it's not just the assets themselves, but the talent associated with those assets. So it's almost a three-dimensional problem in that sense. I'll show one example of that. Lastly, these deep descriptors and keywords, those didn't used to be important, but they're now very, very important. And I'll explain why in a minute. But these are things that touch on more qualitative attributes of any program. Theme, tone, mood, story. Often those are probably ways that you're thinking about searching for what you want to watch. I'm in the mood for this. So I'll touch on that. So, switching gears here a little bit. Let me break down specifically how we think about sort of the categories. Under the AI umbrella, we spend a lot of time in machine learning. So that's really like data aggregation, normalization, and parsing. We think about natural language processing. So that's a separate sort of subgroup that's a little separate from machine learning. I mean, some definitions would include that. For our business, we think of it a little bit separate. And then signal processing. So let me just quickly touch on this from left to right. Machine learning, we continuously ingest from thousands and thousands of sources. Every day we're pulling from partners, content owners such as yourselves, studios, networks, broadcasters. We're also going through, we have vendors and suppliers that bring metadata to the table, and we go through white label sources as well, from Wikipedia to open web. It's a mess, right? So we have to normalize, we have to clean that up. We do a lot of data parsing, we do matching and deduplication. We enrich with TiVo's unique ID solution so we can organize everything. And then we create the graph relationships between these entities, between talent and between assets. In the natural language processing category, there's sort of two fundamental components here. The voice solution I mentioned, so we offer an NLU product. That's natural language understanding. So that means that's semantic analysis. If you think of voice recognition translates what I said into words. But meaning is the latent semantic analysis, or the natural language understanding. So that's actually a really important piece of the puzzle. And we apply those deep descriptors that I mentioned come into play in those natural language solutions. And then there's NLG, natural language generation. So we don't hear as much about this, but it's really important in the metadata business, because if you have a decent set of data points, then you can automatically create a really well-crafted descriptive paragraph or a few sentences. So that might be a bio for a celebrity, it might be a game summary for a sporting event. And you've all experienced examples of natural language generation. If you've looked at Yahoo Fantasy Sports or financial reports, a lot of that gets generated automatically. So that's interesting to us. In signal processing, there's a couple different categories. Audio signal processing. So we can do that. I mentioned excitement metering around sporting events. So it's basically analyzing the sounds of the crowd excitement. So that's one input that's interesting. Voice recognition. We don't do voice recognition properly. That's not a core technology of ours, but we work with partners and that's compatible. That's an important input in this space. Ad detection can be done through audio signal processing as well. And that's important because one of the buttons on your TiVo remote is skip ad. So there's video signal processing and then still image processing. So facial recognition is an important component of video signal processing. Object identification, I'll show a few examples of this. And let me jump ahead because I've got some more of the lesser examples coming up. But first, let's go deep. So this is kind of like the sausage being made. This is a screenshot from one of our internal tools, and this is the metadata, and it's not even all of it, it's maybe a third of the page associated with Mad Max Fury Road. I also captured a bunch of images to give you a sense that it's not just what you see at the top level of your guide. We've got a lot of depth in various formats. It's one-to-one format for your mobile device. It's 16:9 for your widescreen TV. It's different resolutions because you want higher res, you want 8K for your TV, you want something smaller for your phone. And then we have poster art. We have character art you see here, but we also have the actors' headshots. We have scenes from the set, production photos, and red carpet photos, also important. So imagery has become a huge part of the metadata business because that's largely how people discover content. You've all seen that in your guides now. Behind the scenes, sort of under the hood, these keywords I've just highlighted, you can see in the background, we've got, I don't know, maybe 1,000 or more keywords here, keyword pairs. This is where we take that natural language understanding. This is entity extraction. So we're taking, as we pull data from all these sources, we identify important concepts, keywords, and keyword pairs. And for example, Mad Max Fury Road, it's very much post-apocalyptic. That 85 is a score, so it's weighted. These are weighted keywords associated with this particular asset. People Eater is one of the bad guys in the movie. He's a critical character. I learned about Ozploitation. So these are movies from Australia, about Australia. So those are all keywords that will pop up there. Those didn't need to be important because all we had to worry about were guides. But now we have to think about search, recommendations, targeting. This is the raw materials that these applications eat up and need in order to function properly. That's sort of a two-dimensional view, sort of the static metadata. So this is sort of a third dimension here. You can think about trending data. I mentioned the social signal. We tap Twitter and other social signals to figure out what's bubbling up. Get Out, fantastic movie. That really came on very strong through and a lot of support for social media. We saw that very early on because we were monitoring that signal. The image on the right is a reflection of the graph data. So Jordan Peele doesn't exist in a vacuum. He exists relative to Key, right? Key and Peele. They started out on Mad TV. They worked on Keanu together. And through Get Out, we have links to Allison Williams, fantastic actress, who's in Girls. And so you can start to see that there's a very rich and very important linkage graph or knowledge graph that we wrap around the metadata. And this is updated constantly. Every time there's a new episode, a new show, a new actor, a guest appearance, an awards ceremony, that linkage graph juggles and provides, again, more foundational data for search and recommendations. Okay. Let me do a quick time check here. I'm doing pretty good. So everything up until now has sort of been two-dimensional data, right? I think this is almost three-dimensional data, right? The knowledge graph and maybe social, we're starting to add sort of more dynamic elements to the metadata. So here's the fourth dimension, time. Now this is illustrious, right? This is the same attributes that I was discussing, right? So actor, character, object, move, theme, complication. We wrap those around a given asset. But now you can start to imagine that over time. So this is referred to as scene-level metadata. Joel Sloss, I think, mentioned this in his talk. It's come up a couple of times. I think it's important to the studios and in production. It's important in terms of managing and curating your own catalogs. So think about, this will generate thousands and thousands of data points, where previously a film, TV show, a song might have hundreds of data points associated with it. This is next gen for us, right? It's happening today. For TiVo, we see a lot of applications for this in the very near future. So we're keeping a very close eye on this. We're working in this space, and we're looking for customers in this space. I'll put it that way. So what we're doing, let's look across the top here. I'll work through a couple of examples. Through some of the technologies that I mentioned earlier. So for example, video signal processing and facial recognition. We can fill in the top line. So we know what actors are appearing in what scene. Everything here is timestamp. So we know, again, what those actors are. We have actor, character, pairing. So now we know what characters are appearing in what scene, depending on how you want to slice and dice it. We might even know, today I could tell you every actor that appeared in the movie whose name appears in the credits. But a lot of times actors are making cameos. So that might show up here, and we can detect that using facial recognition and video signal processing. Object identification. So what's going on up in these scenes? There's a throne, there are batteries, there are headphones, there's a mohawk, there's an arrow. Those objects might be interesting, right? I think it gets a little more, I'm gonna jump down to the bottom blue line here, brands. So you can start to identify brands. I can recognize the Sony logo, for example, and identify Sony Walkman played an important point in the story. There's a Funko, Funko Pop vinyl that appears in front of the scenes here. So that could be a tie-in, right? I don't think they were a product placement per se, but good to know it's there, right? I don't think Omega paid for product placement in the early James Bond films, but really important to know that that's an Omega watch there, or Omega watch. There's a Dairy Queen, there's a Ford truck in the scene, the blob scene, sort of one of the later scenes here, which happens to be set in Missouri. And then Microsoft Zune makes an appearance late in the movie. That most certainly was not a product placement. Microsoft apparently was not very happy being made of fun, here. It was a great scene. So that's again where video signal processing can start to identify important aspects of the film. Mood, theme, tone, location, events, I'll touch on those in a second. And then of course music. So that's audio signal processing, again, another core technology within the machine learning umbrella. So this is things like, Shazam, has been doing this for a long time. I think what gets interesting here, it's not any particular technology, it's not like this one, machine learning component or algorithm is going to change the game. It's that these work in combination. And if you start researching AI and machine learning, It's basically the combination of these facts, stacked algorithms. That's what kind of opens up, I think, some of the more interesting applications here. And that's about the combination of these technologies being much more powerful than any discrete technology. So, we started doing this over the film. You might see examples of this. I think IBM Watson is starting to demonstrate examples of scene-level metadata generation and curation. I think Microsoft Azure is touching on this. Google's certainly talking about it. Amazon is starting to do this as well. And you can imagine, over any given asset, again, thousands and thousands of data points. More data. Here we go. So this just starts to map what I was touching on briefly. You remember this slide, because I wanted to kind of make sure that this was this presentation was informative and hopefully useful. So these are some of the core technologies and how they might be applied, right? Facial recognition, object identification. This group is where we do a lot of work today, from deep descriptor extraction, that's NLP, natural language processing. There's those graph relationships that weight the relationships between entities. So that's in large part based on named entity extraction. So if you start digging into this space, you'll start coming up against these algorithms and these types of technologies. Weighted scoring, that's latent semantic analysis. Not enough just to have the words, you've got to know what they mean and how they relate to one another. And then event summary. So we can start to combine some of these things and say, oh, well, we know that this is an action-packed battle scene that ends in a kiss. And maybe that's important to search for. So I'm going to start to wrap up here during the end of half hour. Again, if this world on the left looks familiar and maybe painful, we think a lot about that. We sort of live and breathe in that space every day. And we think about the core technologies and the metadata that we can produce and generate, and then the applications of the next stack up. How do we help solve some of the problems introduced in this more fragmented environment? So I think there are applications in production. We heard from some of the studios earlier touching on those use cases. We can certainly help on distribution and getting your content, the right programming sort of to the right viewer at the right time on the right platform. We are metadata feeds into ad operations and ad sales, making sure that there's an effective matchup between the advertising priorities and the audience priorities and the asset itself. And then I think of the bottom three, maybe the holy trinity in terms of user experience, and where a lot of the money comes into play, because this is all about discovery. It's about targeting, getting the right programming in front of the right audience. In that guide view, right, it's like when you turn on your X1 from Comcast, your Time Warner guide, your Netflix guide, that is very consciously manipulated to appeal to you, to get you to say, yes, here's the show I want. That's targeting. search results, that's a directed search where you go looking for something very specific based on factual data or something that's more like mood or theme based. That's about search. And then recommendations. If you like this, you're going to love that. And that happens on an increasingly granular and personal basis. So those are some of the ways that we're leveraging machine learning. Those are some of the ways that we keep, and reasons why we keep a very close eye on the advances in AI proper and some of the partners that we're talking to. And it also talks about some of the specific applications of our metadata technology.